Welcome to the Monday edition of the Clemson Dubcast, October 15th. All the attention shifts to Saturday's showdown in Death Valley against undefeated NC State, 5-0 for the first time since Philip Rivers was in Raleigh back in 2002. Boy, what a great week last week to have an open date. I'm never criticizing the ACC again because of their decision to give Clemson an open date when they did. Just so happened to fall on the 10-year anniversary of Dabo Swinney taking over in 2008 on October 13th after Tommy Bowden walked, and it was a great time for us to take a stroll down memory lane. And if not for the open date, Dabo certainly wouldn't have had time to come over there and spend some time with us in the old McFadden building football offices. And we wouldn't have had time to dig into all those stories that came from that fateful, momentous week 10 years ago. So that was a lot of fun. Thank you all for the kind words about all those stories and the videos, and thanks to Dabo Swinney for taking time out of his schedule to come over there and to retrace his thoughts and steps from those days. Title sponsor of the Clemson Dubcast, Parham Smith and Archenhold Law Firm in Greenville. Very happy to have them aboard. Couldn't do it without them. Blake Smith and Brooke Archenhold, both Clemson grads, both huge fans. Forte of their firm is medical negligence. They represent patients and their family members in medical negligence actions. They also handle all sorts of other complex personal injury litigation. I can vouch for them. About 10 years ago, a family member had a pretty serious medical situation with one of the local hospitals. Went to Blake Smith, and he very quickly and authoritatively gave us some great advice, and we were very thankful for that. Parham Smith and Archenhold offers free consultations. Give them a call, 864-990-4581, or parhamlaw.com. Also sponsoring the podcast is the Abernathy Boutique Hotel, right down about a block or two from the stadium. Great location. All the ESPN folks who are in Clemson at various points throughout the year, they stay there and they absolutely love it just because it's so convenient, so nice with all sorts of amenities, including the Taps Bar and Cafe. They also have a tailgate outside before home games and grilling out hot dogs, hamburgers, got a DJ, got multiple bars outside. They're partnering with Jack Daniels for those events. So a lot of cool stuff over at the Abernathy. Got a lot of good beers on tap inside at Taps Bar and Cafe. My favorite is the Hughie Street IPA. So go on over there and give them a look. Check them out right across from Lower Lot 2 or on the internets at theabernathy.com. Okay, today's guest. I have long believed that Kathleen Sweeney is the nicest, sweetest human on the planet. And no one has yet presented any evidence to support the contrary. Really enjoyed sitting down with her to talk the 10-year anniversary and all the twists and turns and forks in the road and just really fascinating junctures in Dabo's career, all those little moments where he could have gone elsewhere or where he could have made decisions that resulted in him not ending up at Clemson in the first place. So many fascinating layers to this story, and this part is certainly one of them. So I'm going to get out of the way, and we're going to sit down with Kathleen Sweeney. Hope you all enjoy. We welcome Kathleen Sweeney, the First Lady of Clemson football. This is our 12th and final part of the Decade with Dabo series. Thank you so much for being a part of it. It's
an
honor.
Thank you. Thank you, Larry.
We've talked with Billy D, Terry Don, Trish, CJ Spiller. Dabo gave us the grand tour of the McFadden building the other day and where all that craziness was happening. Can you believe it's been 10 years?
No, I cannot believe it. It has gone by really, really fast. And I mean, sometimes it seems like it was just yesterday, but I guess that would mean it had gone slowly. So it really, I mean, it just, it's been amazing. It's been an amazing time.
Take us back to the call from Dabo. He had just been informed Coach Bowden is out, and Terry Don points at Dabo and says, "You're the interim coach. I want to see you in my office in 5 minutes." As Dabo told us, he's walking down the hall. He goes and grabs his notebook. He grabs his phone. He calls you and says, "Kath, we've been fired." You start crying, and he says, "And it's worse, I'm the interim."
Yes, I do. I remember that day vividly. We, of course, at the time, and still do, but we had three little boys, and I had just taken, Clay was really sick. It was October. I'd just gotten home from the pediatrician, and I was starting to make dinner. It was that morning, but I was like laying out all the groceries, and he just called, and he said, "Yeah, you know, they've let Tommy go." And so I just burst into tears at that because, you know, Dabo and I really, really love Tommy and Linda. They are such great people and were always so amazing to us and really, really sweet people. So that's what, it just made me sad to think that he wasn't there. So I really thought that was the end of what he was telling me. And then he went on to say, you know, "And I'm head coach."
And so, okay, so Will and Drew were at Clemson Elementary.
Yes.
And he said he thought they heard before, like they had heard at school, like the word was going around, and you went and picked them up. Is that right?
Well, actually, I just met several of the moms of other assistants on the staff went and got their children that day from school because, you know, knowing that Coach Bowden had been fired, they felt like their children might feel that, you know, their dad had been fired too. And it was just really uncertain at the moment. But I actually let Will and Drew stay. I really didn't know what to do because it was just my call because then Dabo, you know, had a million things going on. So I just waited and I got them off the bus, you know, right there at 2:30, and they were just both kind of looking at me. But I think they could tell, you know, when I got off that they knew everything was okay. I don't think they really knew what was going on, but they knew, you know, at the moment that it wasn't like, you know, their dad hadn't been fired that day or anything. So I did. I let them stay at school and just got them at 2:30, and then we talked.
The part that really kind of surprised me was when Dabo recollected that he says, "It's worse, I'm the interim." And he explained that in saying that in 2000, he was on that DeBose staff at Alabama that got fired, and they had to coach out the rest of the season, and he said it was just misery. Can you... What's your recollection of that time?
That was that year. Of course, you know, Will was 15 months and Drew had just been born in 2000. And going into that season at Alabama, you know, we were assistants and we were supposed to be like, we were preseason number three in the country. Mm-hmm. And we ended up only winning three games. And it was really bad. And there was just, you know, divisiveness. And it was a really tough time being on that staff and just seeing people not get along and, you know, knowing that we'd all been fired. So it's difficult because you really want it, you know, most importantly for the players, you want it to be a good, successful season wherever you are. So that was a really difficult season.
So at the point Dabo called you, he was walking down the hall, going down to Terry Don's office. He's thinking, "I'm on the verge of 7 weeks of hell," with that experience in mind. But then everything changes when he walks into Terry Don's office and Terry Don says, "I've been watching you for 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. I think you have what Clemson needs. And look, I don't want you to think of yourself as the interim coach. I want to think of yourself as the head coach." Anyway, Dabo said that's when his whole mindset changed and he becomes inspired and his adrenaline's going. When did you know that the message was that?
He, at some point, you know, and I don't remember exactly, maybe it was an hour later, or he got another break at some point during the day and called me and, you know, kind of checked on me and just, and said, you know, this is what Terry Don said. So it kind of, because I think at first, yeah, we were both like, oh my gosh, and they've made him interim. So that means it's like, you know, do or die. I mean, it was almost like, oh my gosh, we won't be here at the end of the year mm-hmm. because, you know, as history has it with most people, the interim is they kind of just let you go and then, you know, give you that position and then let you go at the end of the year. But then when he called back a couple hours later and said, no, like Terry Don actually talked to me and said, you know, I have a real shot at this. And so we were both just, I mean, thrilled, scared, excited, adrenaline pumping. I mean, sad too at the moment because we did feel bad for Tommy and Linda, even though our situation didn't really have anything to do with what they were going through. But just being friends, and he had hired Dabo and brought him back, so I knew that I had wanted to reach out to her that day and call her. And there were a lot of people hurting, you know, their children and you know, other coaches. So there was just so many factors and people, you know, that we were both thinking about. And so, you know, there was a human element too.
Sure. Dabo said he was wearing sweatpants and maybe a T-shirt.
Yeah, I think I had to run him up clothes. Did I? I think I ran him up clothes. I sure did.
Yeah, he said that he was embarrassed walking into Terry Don's office because Terry Don's wearing a suit.
Right.
And Deva's, it's a typical Monday for him. And he said after that, he calls you and said, Kath, can you bring me some clothes?
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, I threw Clay in the car seat and I'm like, what do you want to wear? He's like, just grab a Clemson shirt. And yeah, I think looking back, God, he looked like so young and such a baby in that press conference. And he had on I sure did. I forgot about that. He had on a sweatsuit for the day.
I talked to Will for a couple of minutes earlier this week and asked him for what he remembers. And he says he remembers seeing his dad on that Sunday night and then not seeing him again until Wednesday because he was just gone, like basically almost literally 24/7.
It's true. That entire week he got home, he probably walked in. It was because I was up every night, you know, waiting on him. And so he got in about 1, and then we'd stay up maybe till, you know, 3-4 in the morning. And he literally probably got, you know, maybe slept from 4 to 6 that whole week because there was so much to do. I mean, you know, Georgia Tech was coming to town, and he was serious about, you know, what he had to do and serious about the game Saturday and his coaches and players. And there was just so much on his plate, so much.
So the Terry Don telling him that he need to consider himself the guy was an empowering moment for him. And the other empowering moment came on Thursday morning when he, in the dark, drove up to the McFadden parking lot. He's the only one there. And he had moved into Tommy's office the night before. He finally moved his boxes over there, mm-hmm. kind of reluctantly because he just thought it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
And so he had the key to the sliding glass door,
yes.
And he thought that was cool. But anyway, so he was used to parking in the parking spaces facing perimeter. And then he's pulling to his normal parking spot, and he goes, wait a minute. Tommy parked right up there by the sliding glass door, mm-hmm. by the corner office, mm-hmm. and so he pulls up there. But he said he was really struggling at that time. I guess the exhaustion and the adrenaline, mm-hmm. it was all catching mm-hmm. up to him, and he was feeling kind of like, can I really do this?
Right.
And then his lights flash on the parking spot, and he does a double take and sees that the number is 88, uh-huh. and then he just bursts into tears.
Yes.
And I don't know if he called you immediately or soon thereafter, but he called you and said, you won't believe this.
Yeah. It was just like, I think, you know, like Dabo probably said, like a God wink. It was like, no, you can do this. Just some, you know, a little affirmation of, hey, these are little signs. You can do this. Keep your energy up. And he was at the point of just, I mean, pure exhaustion. And so that was a really bright little spot, a little, you know, speckle of hope. And it was really sweet.
So I guess 3 years ago, I talked to you about this for the book that I wrote after the 15 season. It's still just breathtaking thinking back to all the different landmark sort of pivotal points that could have taken him somewhere else, taken y'all somewhere mm-hmm. else, or you not even be here. Like, I guess I'm probably going to miss a few of them, but I go back to He wanted to be on Franchione's staff. Uh-huh. Franchione said, "Eh, no thanks."
Right.
Right.
Right. Correct.
And so, what was the? Was that hard for him?
At the time, Dabo, you know, he'd only ever been in football his whole life, and then as married us at 23, I mean, he was a GA, and so that's all we had ever known was the football life. So, it was really hard when a dream of yours felt like it had to come to an end because, you know, the new coach at Alabama didn't want you. And when you start out at a school that is, you know, it's we weren't at just a little, you know, maybe a Division III, which there's nothing wrong with that, but we had started out at such a powerhouse school, and we were used to that. And so he's like, "I don't want to move all over the country, you know, to pursue my dream of being a football coach, you know, move out to East Tioga, Idaho, or wherever," you know. So it was really hard, and I remember feeling really, I was really sad for him because he just loved what he did so much, and I didn't want that to end for him, and I knew he was so good at it, too.
And so then after, I guess, he wrote to various coaches, mm-hmm. and didn't get much interest back, and then let me rewind. AIG, uh-huh. Getting into commercial real estate. I remember you telling me about his first day that he left to mm-hmm. work, and you're standing in the driveway, and you're just crying because it didn't feel like
it was really sad because, I mean, as a blessing as AIG Baker was for those, you know, 18 months that he was there, he pulled out and his whole career was starting new, and it wasn't what he had always been doing. And I just was so sad for him, and I went inside and I just started crying, and literally the phone rang, and it was still house phones back then. And it was one of our players' moms was calling, like, just to talk to Dabo, check in, just, you know, tell him how much, you know, she loved him. And it just made me cry even more because I'm like, oh, he's supposed to be a coach. Mm-hmm. You know, and then he came home that night from his first day at a new job, and, you know, he's laying maps out, and he's like, "I got to go to Olathe, Kansas. I don't know where this is." You know, I mean, everything was new, and it was a lot for him to learn. And he's so smart and perfectly capable, but he had so much football knowledge, but that I know it made him, you know, a little bit of him was sad that he wasn't still coaching.
And y'all would watch Alabama games, and he'd be saying, "I can do this."
Oh, yes. It would be 2001 and 2002, the spring of those two, I mean, the fall, rather, of those two seasons. Those were not really fun because we would watch games, but we'd always been a part of them. And it just, I could sense, I mean, he was, it would be like, I know I have all this knowledge. I need to be out there coaching, you know, whether it was Alabama or anywhere else. But it was kind of sad. It really wasn't like, oh, fun, it's a Saturday, we get to watch football. I mean, he'd always been involved, and to not be involved was really difficult.
So at one point, his travels for the real estate thing take him to Anderson.
Yes.
Do a strip mall or something. Mm-hmm.
Anderson Station.
Anderson Station, yep. Okay.
Where Old Navy is.
Okay, yeah,
Pier 1,
yeah. Yeah, gotcha. So he decides he's going to make a little side trip to Clemson, mm-hmm. and he stops at Death Valley and calls you, right?
Yep.
What do you remember from that?
Yeah, well, I remember, he probably told you, he, at that time, Kevin Turner, one of our friends from Alabama, mm-hmm. who played there, and his son is now on our
Nolan.
Team, was working with him at AIG, and so the two of them came up for the Anderson Station real estate job, and they were staying at a hotel in Anderson, and he called me. He's like, "You're never going to believe where I am. Kevin and I just drove over here to Death Valley, to Clemson. It's so cool." And I was like, "Really? Really? Did you see Tommy?" You know, because Tommy was here. And as you know, Tommy was his receivers coach at Alabama. And he's like, no, I'm going to try to call him later or something. I think it was, you know, later in the day when they went. And so anyway, he was just telling me how cool it was. So I was real excited, you know, for him. And he just was like, "This is such a neat place. And I'm going to call Tommy tomorrow." And so, yeah, I remember him calling. It was cool.
I can't remember when this happened, but Mike Price replaces Franchione. After Franchione left for A&M, Mal Moore calls Dabo and asks if he's interested in joining Mike Price as tight ends coach.
Yes.
Dabo says yes. Dabo and Mike Price talk, and it sounds like the deal is done. Mike leaves to coach his team in the Rose Bowl, Washington uh-huh. State, one mm-hmm. last game. And then soon thereafter, he calls Dabo to say, "You know what, I'm sorry. I'm going with a more seasoned assistant. I think he hired Sparky Woods, and Dabo was really devastated then.
Yeah, that was very disappointing for him. And you know, it kind of got our hopes up. Oh, my gosh, we're going to go back to, you know, to coaching. We'll go back to Tuscaloosa. We just moved here to Birmingham, but we'll go back. And so for a, you know, brief time, a few weeks maybe, I'm not sure how long that lasted, but we had our hopes up and really thought it would work out. And then, you know, it didn't. It didn't at the moment, but in the end it did.
Then Tommy Bowden calls. Dabo's been out of coaching for almost 2 years. Clemson had just lost 55-15 in the Tangerine Bowl.
Yes.
You're pregnant with Clay, your third boy. Had a house just built in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes.
And people are, on one hand, people are telling Tommy, he's been out of coaching. Why are you going to hire him? You know, I mean, it's kind of like he's out of sight, out of mind. Mm. People are telling Dabo, you really going to go there and get fired within a year? Do you remember? Like, did it just feel like it just felt meant to be?
Oh, totally. And Clemson was a team those 2 years that he was out that we would watch all the time. And because we knew Coach Bowden and, you know, we hadn't been, but we just thought, oh, Clemson, you know, we would follow them. And so he came home, that February of 2003 and said, what do you think about moving? And I was like, oh, yeah, we're moving next month, you know, into the home we had built. It's like, now, what do you think about Clemson? And I'm like, what? And, you know, and he said, well, Tommy just called me, you know, and wants me to come. Rick Stockstill had left, and, you know, he has the receiver's position open. And I'm like, are you serious? I mean, it was very exciting, actually. I wasn't the least bit I wasn't sad. I didn't care about the new house. None of that mattered. It was just really exciting that, you know, that Tommy had reached out to him. Dabo had always stayed in touch. And you know, he said, well, I'm going to go. I mean, he was going like the next day, you know, just to go see it. And, you know, he talks about landing and they passed Pelham Road and, you know, and he went and ate with Brad Scott and them. And so it was really neat.
Billy D told the story last week. He was on the podcast as well that Danny Pierman was at Virginia Tech, called Billy D and said, hey, there's a receivers coach coming in to interview. You need to talk to him. And so that was Billy D's first time ever hearing the name Dabo Swinney. So pretty cool.
Oh, I didn't know Danny did that. That was sweet.
So that year, 2003, lose to Wake Forest 45-17. People are going crazy.
Yes.
Thinking Bowden's going to be fired. And Billy D actually said his guess is that had you not beaten Florida State the next week, something might have happened. Is the thought at the time, like, what have we gotten ourselves into with you and Dabo with the move you had made just months earlier?
You know, I mean, okay, so then we moved to Clemson in 2003, I mean, in March. So that was, that football season. And since we had a 2-month-old baby and, you know, we were building the house. I mean, we were a little concerned, but then we just felt like we were where we were supposed to be. We were really happy to be at Clemson. And I mean, we were concerned, you know, about how the season, especially after losing to Wake that week, and people were telling us they would buy our house from us. And, you know, we thinking, oh, okay, well, we'll just move on in December. But then, you know, we beat Florida State, beat Tennessee in the Peach Bowl. I mean, Coach Bowden's ACC Coach of the Year. So it was just amazing, the turn of events. That's the reason you just really can't ever give up. You don't know what's going to happen. But we were a little driving home from Wake. I remember I drove up there with the boys and Dabo, instead of riding the bus home, rode back with the boys and I. And, we talked about it in the car,
sure.
Like, oh, no, what's... But yet, I mean, we still had peace. We felt like we were in the right place, you know.
People were telling you they were going to buy your house?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was... I thought Dabo had told that story a bunch.
I don't... Well, maybe. You know, I might have forgotten. But.
So we were building the house in Country Walk, and Scott Vick was building the house. And that Monday after Wake Forest, he met us out at the lot, and he said to Dabo, he said, I don't really know how to put this, but, you know, if things don't go well, I've got a lot of people that want to buy this house. And Dabo laughs. He's like, listen, I don't know if we're getting fired, but I'm moving in this. We are moving in for a couple months anyway, even if, you know. So,
People, because that was the same floor plan.
That we had just left in Birmingham, right. Correct.
Wow.
Yes, so it was funny.
Okay, fast forward to December 2006. Clemson's getting ready for the Music City Bowl against Kentucky. The late Mike Brown, Rich Rodriguez's agent, and not yet Dabo's agent, calls Dabo and asks if he's interested in joining Rich Rod at Alabama. Rich Rod had basically said he was going to take the job at Alabama. And Dabo's like, heck yeah. As he says, y'all were packing your bags. Do you remember that episode at all?
I do remember it. I remember just thinking, just kind of even having doubt in my mind if that's something that would, I think as a coach's wife and probably any coach's wife you talk to, we just have to have a different mentality because there's so many ups and downs. You just have to kind of stay planted where you are and, you know, with your kids. And you really can't think, oh, we might be fired. You know, you can't stop living. So I kind of thought, oh, okay, well, we'll cross that bridge if that really happens. And then, you know, it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So, and that's how it is so much in coaching. So I kind of just take everything with a grain of salt. And what you said, music, I mean, it was Christmas. I had three little boys, you know. I mean, he told me that, but yet I kind of just thought, you know, well, we'll see if it happens and then we'll talk about it, you know.
You're being a mom.
Yeah, I had a lot going on. And, you know, I was like, I don't know if that's really good to come to fruition or not, and you know what really would have happened if it did, but it didn't. So,
business owners out there, if you own a business that accepts credit cards, you need to listen up. Tandem Payment, based right here in the upstate, run by Clemson folks, is changing the face of payment processing, quickly becoming the most cost-effective solution for all small businesses. Tandem's program saves you up to 90% on processing charges and gives your customers what they love most, choices. This is not some crazy introductory offer. Tandem's technology allows business owners to offset their credit card processing costs by applying a small customer service charge to each sale they make. If you want to know more, visit tandempayment.com today. Former Tiger Hot Rod McDowell works over there at Tandem Payment. They handle all their business and customer service face to face. So give them a call, 864-672-1570, if you're tired of spending an arm and a leg on all those credit card processing fees. So Rich Rod backs out. Bama hires Saban. Saban calls Dabo, offers him a position as passing game coordinator, huge raise. But no. Just didn't know him, didn't know Nick, I guess, is what he has said. He also had, Dabo had six recruits committed and just didn't feel right,
that
I guess.
It did not feel right at all. It just, I mean, and at that point, and like we do now, I mean, we love Clemson. I mean, my boys love Clemson. I mean, I was like, I don't want to go anywhere. It didn't feel right at all. It didn't matter. It didn't matter about the money. It didn't matter about, and it was just, I mean, Coach Bowden was such a family man. I mean, so great to us. I mean, we had such an amazing life, quality of life, and love Clemson so much. It just never, ever felt right to either one of us.
Okay. December of 2007, y'all had beaten South Carolina and Columbia, and Dabo's in Myrtle Beach recruiting, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he gets a call from Tommy saying, come back. Mm-hmm. We might be going to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Dabo makes the 4 or 5 hour drive back. And he said when he went to sleep that night, he thought the next day y'all were going to be in Arkansas. What was your view of that?
Well, you know, and I remember being at the Central Rec at one of my boys' basketball games, and somebody came up to me and said, oh, I hear y'all are going to Arkansas. And I'm like, what? No, I don't know anything. I'm just doing snack duty here. You know, I didn't know any of that because Dabo still had not called. So he's like, and I remember the guy was like, oh, I'm so sorry I said that. I was like, oh, no, I just haven't. You know, I've been busy and hadn't talked to Dabo yet. And then soon after he called and said, you know, Tommy just called me. And so he was on his way home and I was like, what? Oh no, you know? And so, but again, back to the point of, which I've really had to learn just being a coach's wife, there's so many times you hear things. And again, I just kind of had to take it with a grain of salt. And I was like, I can't believe anything or worry about anything until it actually happens. Or you would be worried every other week with every other game, you know?
Almost like a coach's mentality with his team, like
one day at a time, yes.
The biggest game is the next game. And for a mom and a coach's wife, the just every, one day.
You can't, and I think any of them you talk to, we all know you just have to enjoy each day and take care of your kid. You really can't stress out about, oh, such and such is leaving or this, because so many times it doesn't happen. And you see in this story, things don't always come to fruition. So you kind of don't really deal with it until it's something that actually happens.
UAB, he really wanted that job.
He did, yes. He really did. He really worked hard and prepared hard, you know, to get that.
Do you think that preparation helped? I mean, I know he put that together, the big binder. He also did that for a few other jobs. How instrumental do you think those instances of preparation helped him when he was promoted to interim coach, and he really was sort of auditioning for a job?
Yeah, I think it was great. I mean, he had, you know, was interviewing for South Alabama, UAB. And he put so much time. Dabo is one of the most prepared people I know. I mean, he truly does. And like he tells his players to always prepare for your opportunities. He thinks ahead. He thinks, well, if, you know, who would I hire? What would my philosophy be? I mean, he is so prepared. So I definitely think that helped. That's his personality, and he's just detailed and is always prepared. So it definitely helped though.
So less than a year, I guess 8-9 months after the Arkansas thing came this close to happening, Dabo's the head coach. Does that just blow your mind?
Oh, it's unbelievable. It really is. It really is. And we went into, you know, again, that season being, I think, preseason number 9, Clemson was, in 08. So, and then things, you know, just slowly, clearly, I mean, we got beat by Alabama opening, and then we're 3-3. And so it was, it was truly really surreal.
I want to get your perspective of the night of the South Carolina game in 2010. Dabo's talked about it. Lose 29-7. That's Dabo's second full season. Record is 6-6. And then Dabo on his way up to his office, you had already seen Terry Don, I guess, waiting in his office. And you're the one who tells Dabo, Terry Don's waiting on you. Can you go back to...
Yes, like my heart was kind of really breaking or aching inside, because I really didn't know. And as y'all know, I mean, Terry Don is the sweetest man, and he is, you know, kind of can be a man of not a lot of words or just soft spoke. And he just, you know, I couldn't really tell. I could tell, you know, that he seemed sad and disappointed, clearly. I mean, we had lost, you know, so I wasn't quite sure, but the way he, you know, kind of looked at me sadly, like, you know, and I may have been too sensitive, thinking, oh, my poor husband, I'm, you know, he might be about to let him go, because just the look that Terry Don, it was one of those, you know, our eyes, and we just looked at each other, and it just looked like he was real, real sad and maybe about to have to do something he didn't really want to do, you know. But then it turned out that wasn't the case at all.
Yeah.
And Dabo felt, you know, the same thing. He's like, oh, no, you know, I'm probably, you know, about to get let go. But Terry Don was amazing. And just,
yeah, he said... Know, I guess what the words were, I've never been more confident in you than I am right
now. Yes, yes, which was really, oh my gosh, it was just so, I mean, it was so reassuring and so appreciated, because, you know, then that year we had a bowl game, which didn't turn out too pleasant, but to already have had that affirmation, you know, from Terry Don, it just made, it just, well, you see, then from then on, it really made a difference.
So I learned something earlier this week in talking to Trish Phillips, Terry Don's wife, that the way that Brent Venables got here was Terry Don interviewed Brent in 2008 during his coaching search when Dabo was auditioning. He was super impressed with him out in Oklahoma. And so then 3 years later, when Dabo was looking for a defensive coordinator, Dabo was already, he said he was far down the road with another guy. He was ready to fill that spot. And then Terry Don had received a call from Venables. Bob Stoops had brought his brother, Mike Stoops, back. And so it was kind of a co-coordinator deal at Oklahoma. And Venables, I guess, is feeling kind of like maybe that's a demotion, but starts looking around a little bit and calls Terry Don and says, hey, I don't know Dabo.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd be interested in me, but if he is, I'd like to talk to him. And so Terry Don slipped Dabo Brent's cell number on a piece of paper and said, hey, you do what you want, but I'm just giving this number to you. And Dabo said he puts it in his pocket, comes home, and he said he was just planning on giving him a call. You were up. This is 9 o'clock at night. I can't believe Dabo's memory. It's just incredible. He remembers every little detail. But he said they talked and talked. You went to bed.
I think it was like 3 hours. It was after midnight. Yeah, when he finally, you know, came to bed.
I guess the revelation that I had in that is that Terry Don not only deserves credit for spotting Dabo and having his eye on him and his potential and promise, but also he played a big role in luring the best assistant in the country to Clemson.
Yeah, he did. And he shared that with Dabo. And then I think Dabo knew, you know, immediately, because that night he's like, okay, we just talked for 3 hours. Like, you know, really, really, you know, he and Brent connected on so many levels. And then I think it may have either been, I'm trying to think what night that was, but he and Julie, either they flew out the next day or it was the next weekend, depending on the day of the week that was. And, you know, they were here and we hung out at our, and you know, in our kitchen and just visited. And then I think the next weekend they brought Jake and Tyler, and it was just awesome. They are such an awesome family. And it just, you know, again, that was another just meant to be.
What did it mean for you to be named an honorary Clemson alumnus?
Oh my gosh, that was so awesome. I cannot tell you. I think that was, I told several people that meant more to me than my Alabama degrees. I don't know. I mean, it was just such an honor. I don't want to, there's so many people that would deserve that honor. I'm not saying that I'm deserving at all. I'm just saying that there was somebody that they thought that I could even be in that category to because I know it's not something they just hand out, because I love Clemson so much. And I was just totally shocked that night because, you know, they gave it to Dabo. So and that's just what I was expecting. And I didn't even know that. So I never dreamed. I mean, I just started crying. It really meant so much to me because I love this community. And I was thinking about that, like, it's been 10 years since Dabo's been named head coach, but this is our 16th year here. And I mean, this is where I've raised my boys. And I mean, this is home. And I mean, I could really, you know, start to cry just talking about it. It's just, I mean, I have so many friends, so many memories. I mean, there's just not a day that I wouldn't drop the boys off at Dabo's office and just like, thank you, God. Oh my gosh, what a place to live. I mean, I can just come right back. I mean, it's just a simple town. I mean, Dabo and I can go to, you know, Daniel High football games and nobody bothers, you know, nobody's bothering him like head coach of a major college football program. It's just like, oh, that's Clay's dad. Or, I mean, it sounds silly, but it means so much. I mean, in just the way that I just love the community and the school so much, I was just extremely honored. I mean, really, really honored and really, really touched.
Y'all have done a tremendous job in the community with the All In Foundation and this being Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Is it accurate or up to date? Y'all have raised over 500,000. Is that the latest number? 500,000 for to fund breast cancer prevention and research?
Yes, actually, we just finished working on our grants today, and this year alone, by the end of the year, we will have been given like 1.1 million just this year away to places in the community, and including that breast cancer. And actually, I don't want to misquote, but the number is probably, and I'm not sure what you have, because we just last month gave $250,000 to St. Francis to help fund a new mobile mammography bus, which is really exciting. So I think the number is closer to like maybe $750,000 for breast cancer prevention and research.
Fantastic.
So it is just so exciting. It's I'm sure y'all have seen the pink bus around, and they give mammograms to, right now it's 4 or 5 different counties, but they're trying to expand to 7 counties. So they approached us about helping to buy a new bus because they just want to reach more women. And so it's just really exciting. But because of our amazing Ladies Day Clinic, we were able to go ahead and just give them like $250,000 to buy a new bus,
Buy
a new bus.
That's great.
I know they'll have some other sponsors for that, but
I'm sure we're going to see you at a press conference soon to talk more about it, as you do every year, hopefully. How can people donate? Do you know?
You mean anybody can go to davosallinteam.com and or .org.com. Yeah. And they can go on there and donate. It'll have all the ways where they could just go on a link, they can send in a check. And then right now there's lots of other things. Next week at the NC State is also homecoming and breast cancer awareness game. And so we're going to have a text to give campaign. You can text the word DABO to 41444.
Awesome.
And then also we've been working with WCCP, and they're doing their Tigers for Tatas bracelets. And last year they gave us $30,000,
wow,
which was amazing. So it's just, but we get checks all the time. I mean, it doesn't just have to be our ladies clinic or All In Ball. I mean, people will just, you know, we'll get somebody send us a $10 check, you know, a $10,000 check. I mean, people are so generous, and we just, our main hope and prayer is that we've just helped a lot of people. That's all we really want to do is just help people.
Mammograms are typically $150.
They're usually, they're about $150. And so the foundation, we've been able to donate where you can get, you know, women who are either uninsured or underinsured can get free mammograms. Because that's just, you know, that's really, I mean, moms are busy, women are busy, and a lot of them, that's the last thing they're going to take time to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. And especially, you know, if they work till 5 and they've got kids, I mean, they're not taking off work to go get a mammogram. And so we just, that's one of the reasons we've partnered with St. Francis, just to try to give them, you know, as much help as we can. And they have found on their mobile bus, you know, they've found many women with cancer who probably wouldn't, you know, wouldn't otherwise have gotten their mammogram.
About the 10-year anniversary, anything final, anything we haven't talked about that is on your mind that I haven't covered, that I've forgotten?
I mean, there really is so much to say. And again, I think it's all just, some of it is so vivid, and then some things are kind of a blur, you know. And I'm just really beyond proud of what DABO has done. But again, it hasn't, you know, been alone. I mean, the whole staff and his coaches, I mean, he really, everybody that he hires, he puts, I just can't tell you the thought he puts into it. I mean, everybody he hires, he puts so much thought and prayer into it. He just wants it because he's trying to build such a great culture. And I think that's one of the main reasons that Clemson football in general is so successful. He's not, you know, coaches aren't running in and out. I mean, he doesn't hire, fire like a lot of schools. I mean, he really, really, you know, cares about each coach, cares about each staff member, their wives, their children. I mean, you know, we try to make it just, you know, as much family as it can, because that's really what it's about. And so it's just been, you know, so many people's efforts, but of course DABO's the leader, and I know I'm his wife and I'm biased, but he is truly really an amazing leader. And I think, you know, probably the number one reason is because he truly loves everybody. I know he has to get on to, you know, some of the players sometimes, but he loves them. He loves them. He just loves and cares about all of them. Truly, you know, like they were our own sons. And I see that, and I think even through the years, like because as a coach's wife and family, I mean, you know, you don't always get to see them. And lots of times when you do see your dad or your husband, I mean, they're tired, or they're, you know, they've given all their selves away already. So I think for myself and the boys, just, you know, being a part of it, DABO's so great to make, you know, the coaches and their wives and children, everybody a part of what we're doing at Clemson. So everybody, you know, can love on the players and get to know, and just, and those things seem silly, but they're really, really important. And I think it creates a happy environment. And when people are happy, you know, they want to do a good job. And, but just seeing how much that DABO loves his guys and loves his players, I mean, that makes it easy as a wife and, you know, our boys to, yeah, Dad, go recruiting. You know, we'll see you next week, because we know he loves what he's doing, you know, and he's making a difference. Where, I mean, there's a lot of jobs people can't say that. They can't say that they're, you know, really enjoying what they do, or if they have to be away from their family. But just seeing and, you know, our players go from 18 to 22 and become these young men and just graduate from Clemson and then come back and see us. Or like, I know you just talked to CJ, he comes over and hangs out. What you doing, Miss Kath? I mean, you know, he's just, it's just so rewarding, and their relationships, I mean, really for life. I mean, we love all of them so much, and Dabo does. And I think that's what matters the most. And that's what I'm most proud of, because I know his heart, and there's just so much love in it for what he's doing.
You're so protective of those players. I remember reading an article 10 years ago when you were quoted as saying one day he was yelling at a player in practice, and afterward you were like, please don't yell at him anymore. And or you
maybe
said to the
Tyler
player,
told you all that.
I you think told did, the player maybe that he shouldn't yell at you like that. And the player said, no, I was wrong. He was right to yell at me or something like that.
That was actually Tyler Grisham. Yeah, that was like back in 10. Yeah, right when Dabo got, Tyler was there. And I was like, Tyler, I'd come out to practice and I just saw him really getting on him. And it just upset me, you know, because I always, you know, Dabo's like, you couldn't be a coach. I'm like, I know, I like to keep things, you know, happy. But he had gotten on him. And afterwards I was like, Tyler, I'm so sorry. He goes, no, Miss Sweeney, I deserved it actually. Like, you know, I wasn't, whatever he wasn't doing. And
sounds
I was like
Tyler.
No, you don't ever deserve it, Tyler. But anyway, yeah, so.
Well, listen, as a storyteller, you know, the last 10 years, I mean, it's been an honor to be, there's just so much great stuff to write about, and it's like a fairy tale. You know, you just, even, you know, somebody who's not on the inside, you know, I'm detached, but you still just pinch yourself, you know, at all these stories that you're able to go unearth, and just having been around y'all since, you know, since the beginning is really cool. So.
Oh, thank you. And that has been our favorite. And I think last year in 17, that is what brought Dabo and I so much joy. And I'm just going to cry even talking about it. But just everybody we saw to say, where were you at the national champ? You know, they wanted to tell us their story. But just whether it was, you know, someone in the media or just someone we met on the street or, you know, our players' family, whoever, longtime Clemson fans, new Clemson fans, everybody had, you know, a story about their national championship or how they got their tickets or where they were. I mean, it was just so exciting in that parade to see hundreds, thousands, you know, coming out. I mean, it truly brought us so much joy, as I know it did all the players and other coaches. And just to see people get excited, and we get so many stories. There's a lot of pain in this world, and, you know, football can bring somebody a little bit of excitement, or somebody gets to, you know, shake Hunter's hand or whatever. I mean, you know, it's really neat. It's really special. And so, I mean, we love our fans and love Clemson.
You've got to get back to being a mom. So I want to thank you for sharing your time with us, a slice of your day, and for being a part of this whole series.
Well, thank you, Larry.
All right. Thank you, too, the First Lady of Clemson Football, Kathleen Sweeney, for sharing her time with us. Thank you to all of you for reading and watching the stories and videos we did last week for the anniversary. Thanks to title sponsor, Parham Smith, an Arch and Hold law firm in downtown Greenville. Also, the Abernathy Boutique Hotel in Clemson, and Tandem Payment in Greenville. Appreciate everybody listening. Stay tuned for the next podcast, set to be published on Friday, day before the NC State game. Should be a fun week. Y'all be safe, everybody. Cheers.